Hi, this is Katie Day and welcome to Creating Ripples, the programme that showcases inspirational women across the globe. Sometimes it is the small acts and achievements that can create the biggest ripples. We're here to share some amazing stories. They may make you laugh, sometimes they may make you cry. They are guaranteed to always inspire you. Today it is my absolute pleasure to be interviewing Alison Mathias. Alison is a photographer and digital artist based near Battle in East Sussex, the southeast of England. She considers that she has been a photographer since she was 11, when an aunt bought her a basic little Kodak camera for Christmas. With her background and degree in fine art and English literature, Alison developed a passion for stories and visual art, and she feels photography marries these two together beautifully, particularly with the endless possibilities these days with digital editing. Alison took the plunge and started her own photography business as a self-gift for her 40th birthday. She says, "I didn't want to turn 40 and still be saying, what am I going to be when I am a grown-up?" I'm not a grown-up, Alison, and I'm 56. Alison stepped back from the photography business in December 2015 with an aim to refocus and gain some creative clarity during a spell of uncertainty. What followed was a recent full rebrand and launch of what is now Alison Wonderland Photography, with a specialism in magical, fine art and fantasy-type photographs, following her true passion for creative, fun and visually beautiful storytelling images. Alison lives with her husband Andrew, their 18 and 15-year-old children, two dogs and two cats. She loves to socialise, go on walks to collect her own stock photography, cook and share food and drink with friends, dream, create, and to bring a little magic into people's lives. Alison truly feels she has found her home in Wonderland. I love your title, Alison in Wonderland, is just perfect.
Thank you.
And the website is fantastic. And I remember when you sent me the link and I went to have a look at your website, looking through all the images, and I emailed you and said, does the Disney company
know
of your existence? Because if they don't, they need to.
Oh, bless you. I think the Disney company have got more than enough of their own terribly talented people.
Yeah, I'm sure there's room for one
They'd probably look at mine and go, amateur.
Brilliant. So where did the idea for Alison Wonder, it's a brilliant, with your name, it's a brilliant play on words.
Thank you. Yeah, well, not very long ago, well, about 18 months ago, I realised, I got a bit of a heads up from my brother who has an IT company, that they were launching new domain names. And I knew that they were launching .photography as opposed to .co.uk, .com. So they were launching things like .plumber and .social and .coffeeshop and all sorts of fabulous new domain names that would be very relevant, obviously, to lots of businesses. And I checked to see if they were launching the .photography, and they were. And I don't know where it came from. It was like a flash of inspiration. And I just thought, I wonder if Alison Wonderland .photography is available, because if it is, I'm having it. I didn't even know why at the time. I just knew I had to have it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was just one of those mad moments that I thought, if it's there, it's mine. I had to have it, because I thought that at some point in the future, I might do some creative photography or experimental photography just for me.
Okay.
Maybe to make into greetings cards, or just so that I could play and really sort of explore the creative side of editing and photography. So I told my brother, and he bought it for me through his IT company. And I actually sat on it for 18 months without doing anything with it. But I just knew that I would someday.
Yeah, this premonition.
Because at the time, my photography business was called Chocolate Photography. So I didn't ever think that I wouldn't have Chocolate Photography, but now, as
how
you say, I've completely changed and rebranded it.
So what happened 18 months later that it is now a business? How did you go from Chocolate Photography to Alison Wonderland Photography?
Okay, well, Chocolate Photography, I just loved photography. And, as you said in the intro, I wanted. I've been a photographer always and an artist, and I think if you've got that sort of that inside you, you're never not photographing. Even if you're out shopping in the shops, you're taking photos all the time or painting pictures in your head all the time.
Wow.
Just snapping away hundreds and hundreds
really?
All the time.
Oh my gosh.
In your head. Even if I haven't got my camera with me, I'm always photographing and looking at things and looking how the light bounces off things. And it's just about noticing the little things. I think people do it all the time but don't realise necessarily.
Right.
They don't compartmentalise it in their head. They just notice things. But I call that taking pictures. I was approaching 40. I had another business at the time, and I'd been doing an awful lot of photography and really sort of teaching myself the digital world, because I was trained as what I call an old-fashioned camera, the classical way. With photography, I was taught in a dark room and developed photos myself in a dark room with a photographer at 16 as part of my work experience.
How wonderful.
And then I went off to university and did a bit more there, but not a huge amount. But it was fun. And there's nothing like waiting for those photos to develop in a dark room and appear. It's very exciting. But the digital world excited me more because of the absolute boundless possibilities. I mean, just there's nothing you can't do. And that can't not be exciting to a creative person.
Is it a bit overwhelming, though? Is it almost like too much choice? Or too much possibility?
No, because if you just woke up one morning and you could suddenly just do it all, then I don't think you'd come out from under your duvet.
No, because it'd be overwhelming.
Yes, but because you're always learning and you're always striving for that next perfect photo or something that day might inspire you. You might just go out and have lunch and coffee with a friend and see something amazing, or see a photo on the wall, or read a poem somewhere, and something new will inspire you. So it's little layers of knowledge and creativity and expertise, I think, that come in all the time. Sometimes I want to do something in one of my photos that I don't know how to do yet.
Okay.
I'm not a massive Photoshop expert yet. I don't know if anybody would ever consider themselves an expert. I don't like the term expert very much. But if there's something I want to do, and I believe that Photoshop can be the vehicle to get me there, I just learn how to do it. I teach myself how to do that thing. So it's just another
layer. It's evolving.
Layer,
the knowledge
yes.
and the expertise is evolving.
And there are evolving editing all the time as well, and its capabilities.
So you never really stop learning, do you?
No,
because you've reached the point where you think, okay, I've got that cracked. Something else will have been developed in the meantime,
yes.
So you're constantly evolving yourself.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which is exciting.
Very exciting. So it's never boring.
Absolutely.
And you can never say that you know it all, because I don't think there's anybody out there.
I don't think
anybody
knows it all.
And even if, you know, the route, the vehicle to get an effect is the same for different photographers, your creative vision is still going to be different. You know, if you put 20 photographers in a room and said, I want you to photograph a child being a fairy in the snow, those 20 photographers are all going to produce a completely different image in a completely different way.
So are photographers the 21st century masters of art?
Oh, Katie, there's a question. No,
okay.
I don't think they are.
Okay.
I've never thought about it before, but I think that art is such a big word for three letters that you could say modern dance is a modern master, you know, of creative art. And, you know, there are so many, there's just all different ways of doing it. And I don't think there is. I think it just always moves on and evolves. And sometimes goes backwards in a positive way as well. I think sometimes when you look back at some of the older methods and go back to traditional ways of doing things and bring that in and fuse that with modern ways of doing it, that's just as exciting.
It is. You know, when I'm thinking, you studied fine art.
Yes.
So do you consider for really good photographers as fine art artists?
Yes, I really
do. So you don't have to have a canvas and paints to create fine art now.
And in fact, that's how I came to be a photographer.
Right.
Because I love painting. When I did fine art, I was a painter. And in fact, I did work in London for a while. I did nannying and painting. Nannying is because I just needed to pay my bills. I'm grounded enough to know that I didn't want that panic. I'm a Capricorn. I like my feet on the ground. but I would paint as well and occasionally sell a painting.
Okay.
And in fact, the very first one I ever sold was to a chap who bought my very clapped out white Ford Escort off me. And it was in such a bad state that I think he felt terribly sorry for me and said, I'll buy one of your paintings for my mother as well. So that was the first painting I sold in London. But I did sell a few, but I mostly did it for myself. I wasn't very good at marketing myself, as often artists aren't. We just like doing what we do. Once I sort of, you know, got a bit older and met my husband and we settled down and had children and I was just, you know, working because that's what you do and earning money, I needed a creative outlet. And actually for a while, cooking was my creative outlet. That was like art on a plate to me, the colours and the textures. And I still love cooking. That's still quite artistic to me. But photography became a tidy, easy way of creating paintings for me.
Okay.
Because there was no messiness. I didn't have to worry about toddlers and whether they were going to spill my white spirit and whether they were going to get fingers in my palette. And I didn't have to tuck it away at the end of the day in the house, you know. Wasn't full of paint and Lego. It was just Lego. You know, photography
it's
for me was just tidy
creativity,
art.
Isn't it?
It was clean.
Clean. So what did you start off doing when you first started your photography back then?
When I actually started the business just before I turned 40. I mean, I've always been a keen photographer on and off over the years when time and family have allowed it. So when I started Chocolate Photography 5 or 6 years ago, I was basically the sort of photographer that did everything for everybody. I did weddings, I did food, I did a bit of commercial, I did dogs, I did families, I did babies, and I loved it all. I didn't want to specialise because I just loved taking pictures. And I loved the journey that each individual strand took me on. And I don't want to specialise. Several people said to me, oh, you really should specialise because otherwise people don't know who you are. And I said, well, this is who I am. I'm chocolate photography and I do a little bit of everything. Thank you very much. And I did okay. And I built up, customer service was very important to me. I built up a fairly good reputation. I was never the most expensive out there. I was never the cheapest either. I placed myself right in the middle of the market. Mm-hmm. I got some really good training. And had amazing forum support online from a group of people that we all got together at the same time and became slightly more modern school and nursery school photographers.
Oh, okay.
We wanted to bring a little bit of modern dynamics. It turned out that a lot of parents don't want modern,
oh, really?
Modern dynamics for their school. Some do, but an awful lot of people still want what I call the granny shot, which is the one that keeps granny happy at Christmas. And it's the classic slightly twisted headshot of the child in uniform.
Of our first school.
So much as I loved it, and I adored particularly working with the preschoolers, they made me laugh so much. They were hilarious. And brought a great deal of joy to my life when my children are a bit older. You know, that the little ones working at preschools was fabulous. But it started to, there wasn't much creativity allowed there, not a huge amount. And much as I loved the photography, I needed the creativity. I needed the art part. And actually, sometimes the most creative I could be was when I was doing product photography for businesses. You could be a little bit more creative then and run ideas by them. Yeah. As long as they were in keeping with that business's brand, then I could be a little bit creative there. Mm. Mm. But yeah, so I started to feel a little bit stifled by the lack of creativity. Just for me, I mean, other photographers will find that, you know, just doing amazing black and white photography is incredibly creative for them. And everybody's got their own sort of levels of what they need from their art. But I just have an imagination that is ridiculous. And, you know, my husband describes me as running around with my hair on fire. And I get these ideas. And frequently now, I actually find myself just scribbling down in a notebook. And it can be inspired by anything, a plant or a cushion or, you know, a tree. And I'll suddenly think, oh, I've had an idea for a new photo. And now I'm in a position where I can do that.
So what is Alice in Wonderland? So you have niched now, in a way.
I have because I basically, when I had the chocolate photography, I ran that sort of fairly successfully for 4 to 5 years. But I always felt just a little bit muddy. My website for that was down for 2 years. I was creating it for myself and I was trying to rebuild it and it never just felt right. So actually my website was down for 2 years, which now, looking back in retrospect, tells me something. And I wasn't very good at saying no.
Okay.
And so I was burning myself out a little bit because I was running the photography business around another job as well.
Right.
Which I also, I loved that. I love that job too. I still do it. And I started to have a little bit of a wobble and thought, well, as lots of creatives do, just, am I any good at this? Can I actually do it? You know, what's holding me back here? Because I just felt like I wasn't progressing and I didn't know how to evolve. And I just got a bit stuck. It's a bit of a photography version of writer's cramp, really.
Yeah.
And thought, you know, do I look at another business? Do I just completely stop and do something else and just carry on with the photography as a hobby? What do I do? And then I had coffee with a friend. And she said, you know, when her and her friends get together, they write down on a piece of paper, you know, what do they love? What do they just love? And in the 10-minute drive home from that cup of coffee, I thought, what do I love? What do I love? Actually, I love the editing. I really love the editing. I love the creative work. I love the fine art photography. I love magic things. I love being a kid. I like fun things. And within 10 minutes of that journey home, I just had this complete epiphany, for want of a better word, and just thought, I'm going to go back to the photography. I'm going to specialise, and that's what I'm going to do, and that's going to be how I stand out now from the market, which for me was just starting to feel a little bit clumpy and a bit muddy. And I thought, that's who I am.
Yeah.
And I just suddenly, within a few days, genuinely felt that the blinkers had fallen from my eyes. It was quite liberating, and I really, really feel that for the first time in years with my business that I've got clarity and I know who I am. My website was done and created within about 2 weeks.
Wow.
Which is far better than the 2 years it was taking me to do the last one. Because I had focus.
Yeah.
And I knew.
And passion.
Well, oh, absolutely. Masses of it. Masses. Overflowing.
So I was having a conversation with somebody this morning, actually, at a business networking thing. And I was giving a talk there. And we were talking about why you do stuff, and I say, okay, how I work with businesses and within businesses or entrepreneurs is, if you know your why, the how will take care of itself. And what a lot of entrepreneurs do, particularly entrepreneurs but businesses as well, is that they will focus on the how and they forget the why. So they get tied up in, how am I going to earn money? How am I going to make this work? How do I do the marketing? How do I do the PR for this? How do I get the money in? Rather than remembering why they went into the business in the first place.
Concentrating on the mechanics, not the passion.
And the why is the passion. So if your passion is there, and that's the difference between attraction marketing and push marketing. So if you concentrate on the why, on your passion, you then attract the right clients to you. Because you exude a completely different
energy.
Well,
that's very interesting that you should say that, because A, it's one thing me knowing that I was doing the right thing, but suddenly when I started saying to people that I was going to refocus and rebrand and completely lose the name Chocolate Photography, which was very scary to me, because that was a brand that people did know in the area where I live, and it was memorable because chocolate's quite emotive.
Yeah.
So many people said to me when I explained what I was going to be doing and what my focus was going to be on, you know, they said, oh, that's just so you. I can't believe you weren't doing it before. And I just thought, I know. I know, it really is. And it felt right. And funnily enough, as a result of that, when you talk about attraction marketing, other things have suddenly fallen into my lap. And I haven't even properly got it out there yet and properly started marketing it, because I literally launched it at the end of the first week in August, the rebrand.
Wow.
And yet since then, I've already, well, not only just been approached by you, obviously, very kindly to do this today, but I've been approached about doing an exhibition in the spring, in Rye, which I'm very excited about. And I've also been got the possibility of illustrating separately two children's books.
Wow. I know. That is so exciting.
And they've just sort of come to me.
Brilliant.
That's never happened to me before.
Well, that's when you're in flow.
Which makes me feel that this is, it just reinforces to me the fact that this is the right thing. And the response I've had to the website and the photography has been incredibly warm. People have been very kind and said, wow, you know, I love this.
Have they been kind or have they just been honest?
Oh, well, you know, maybe a little bit of both. Yes. But,
okay, yeah. So what is Alice in Wonderland?
Wonderland to me is just a place where now I think I can be me and explore my creativity. So Alice in Wonderland is my own special world of creativity that I'm open arms inviting people to come into and explore what they would like to see in their own photos. It doesn't have to be a regular portrait shot. Now Alice in Wonderland offers people the chance to be in a picture that shows what they're like inside as well. And if it's an adult and they've got children who love fairies and imagination and they want to capture that part of their childhood, then we can do that. If it's adults maybe and they just love Lord of the Rings, you know, or something like that, or maybe Harry Potter
or Caribbean.
Pirates, or absolutely anything. Or if they've got a favourite book, you know, or artist, you know, or maybe they were into Tennyson, or maybe they're into Shakespeare, We can put something together that represents something that they're passionate about. And I can just realise that in an image.
So it's not just for children?
Oh, no. I've done several adults as well.
Okay. So is it, you say it's fantasy photography. I'm interested by that word fantasy, because fantasy, with most people's interpretation, I haven't looked it up in the dictionary, but most people's interpretation of fantasy is something that isn't real. But actually what you've just said is it's people getting in touch with who they really are. Is it fantasy
and
photography?
And that would be, ooh, deep. That would be, for some people it will be fantasy photography. It might just be, I've always fancied myself as a fairy. And I would just love, because I just love the way it looks and it would go really nicely in my living room. Thank you very much.
Right.
Or, you know, they like cosplay or they just enjoy the whole sort of fae lifestyle.
Yeah.
Then yes, it would be fantasy.
Yeah.
I would just, you know, somebody could come to me and say, you know what, I'm going to turn 50 and I really fancy having some absolutely beautiful photographs done of myself. And I like the Pre-Raphaelites. Do you think that you might be able to do something in that sort of style for me?
Okay.
Absolutely. Equally, somebody might come to me and say, I really love what you've done for other people and I want to be in a picture myself, but I don't know what to have. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know who I am or what my picture would look like.
And how do you help them?
And so
get
I will
there?
Help them, because with all of my Alice in Wonderland photo shoots, I have a session with them beforehand.
Right.
And we have a drink and maybe cake. And sometimes we can go,
maybe cake.
maybe,
I'm not coming if it's only maybe cake.
Definitely cake for you, Katie. And we would chat. And if they don't know what they want, then I just start talking to them and asking questions. What sort of things did you really enjoy playing as a child? What, you know, have you got children yourself? What do you love doing? What makes you happy? What sort of music do you like? Maybe it could even be the lyrics of a song or something that's special to them from their grandmother. Maybe it's, you know, maybe their grandmother always smelled of lavender or something and we can do something there. Maybe there's a poem they love or a favourite book. Maybe they really loved Winnie the Pooh growing up. It can be anything, you know. I've always loved magical things. So if somebody was asking me that question, I'd be saying things like, well, I loved all the Enid Blyton fairy stories when I was little. I'd hide under the covers and read them again and again and again with torches and the wishing chair
funny,
and the faraway
tree. You remember? One
and
of my favourite was
so precious to me.
The Chronicles of Narnia.
Yes.
The something with the witch in the wardrobe.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
I read. There was something magical about going into a wardrobe and into this magical kingdom. Yeah. It's that imagination, isn't it?
So, you see, now you've said that, and we were talking about books, then suddenly I can see your photo.
Okay.
You would have maybe a Narnia-themed...
Interesting.
But there's always other little elements that are very personal to you that you could bring into it. You know, maybe also as a child, you can remember feeling happy on a Sunday and having Sunday dinner with a jam jar of daisies in the middle of the table, so we could incorporate daisies into it. Your photo can be anything you want. It's
so it can
personal.
Be memories?
Absolutely.
It can be who you are on the inside.
Yeah. It could be who you want to be.
It could be exploring.
Yeah.
Is it also a way for people in a position of safety, if you like, to explore archetypes, internal archetypes? So are they the warlord? Are they...
Oh, I see, yes.
Are they Cinderella or are they the Wicked Witch?
Mm.
Are they Snow White? Are they Prince Charming? Are they a cowgirl?
Mm.
Are they the rebel? Are they the pirate? So what might be their archetype that they may have played as a child without consciously being... Because, we are... our authentic selves as children.
Yes.
It's only when we grow up that is knocked out of us because it's not appropriate and we have to be grown up and sensible.
Yeah.
God help us.
I'm going backwards. That's why I'm here.
The older I get, the younger I become. It's great. And the less I care. It's wonderful.
Me too.
It's very, very liberating being over 50 and rapidly approaching 60. Because I don't care anymore. I got to wear purple and spit in the street. Have you read that part?
I have. I studied it in English.
I love it.
Yes,
I love it.
It's great.
Anyway, where was I? Oh, yes. So is it about getting back in touch with who we always knew we were as children, but we forget?
It can be. And absolutely, that's something that could be explored. Equally, it could be the person that you would never be, but thought it might be fun to be.
But so it's always a bit scary or a bit naughty.
Yeah. So it could be that you've just been a real goody-two-shoes all your life and
be
actually
a really bad
you
girl.
Fancy...
Now you're talking
fancy
my language.
Being really naughty.
I'm so making an appointment to come and see you.
And so it can genuinely be
what
anything.
Fun.
And that whole how your images are going to look would be explored in that first conversation, whether it be for you or for you as a couple, or for you as a family, or for your children.
And what a lovely thing to do. Say as an engagement photo, rather than traditional standing by the family fireplace, looking terribly grown up, for a couple to get in touch with who they are and who they want to be as a couple, as a unit when they get married, and to create that with an engagement.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Yeah, exactly.
What fun.
You're making me even more excited about it now. Yeah.
Brilliant fun. Yeah. So how do you create the backdrop? So how do you create that scene for people?
You mean the actual image?
Yeah.
Technically or in my head?
Well, both, I suppose.
Okay.
I suppose it starts off in your
first
head.
First of all,
it?
I work backwards.
Right.
I see the images in my head. I always did, even with all of my photography. I see the image in my head and then create it.
Okay.
And generally, the theme always having run through all of my photography, and in fact, looking back to my degree, all of my artwork, there was always something storytelling there.
Right.
Even when I've marketed doing people's weddings, I've always said, lots of photographers do, but I really meant it. I tell the story of the day. And in fact, it was often those little things that meant more to me than the big classic photos.
Yeah.
Chasing the 5-year-old bridesmaid around and, watching her pull her dress out of her knickers at the back and things like that. That was what made it for me. The little things, the storytelling bits.
Well, it's the cement that keeps everything together, doesn't it? The little bits.
Yeah. I can't remember what the question was.
Sorry. How
creative mind.
How does the final picture come? So you visualise
so
it in
backwards.
Your head.
I see the pictures in my head.
It.
And it might be actually that family or that person or that child needs two or three, different themes. And we'll work on one and then we'll, if they, bought the right package that gives them sort of maybe a couple of choices, will then switch and do something else. I had a lovely little girl recently who was a mad Harry Potter fan, so we did her Harry Potter themed photo shoot, and then her mum wanted her to have a photo shoot that was separate to that, that represented her love of magical things and books. She was a real bookworm. She really loves reading. So we did photos that represented those as well. And in fact, it's one of her photos, her magical ones, that's on the back of my business card, sitting on the, over the lake.
So how do you create that backdrop then?
First of all, what I do is sometimes I will buy stock photography.
Right.
Sometimes I will source it with permission. But where I can, and I would say 80% of the time, I create my own stock photography. But the backdrop, I suppose, starts with the canvas of the original photograph, because I don't use a studio to do the photography. I will always take people to the location. I've got a mobile studio and I can use studio.
Okay.
And if somebody had travelled an awfully long way and it was absolutely bucketing down with rain, then we'd start off by using a studio. But I will avoid using the studio at all costs.
Right.
Because for me, it starts and is a more magical experience and a more real experience for the people as well. If you do it outside, so if we wanted a lake in that picture, we'd go and try and find somewhere near, you know, a lake, or if they wanted a river, we'd actually go and create and make it happen in an area that was appropriate to the final image.
Okay.
So it's quite often woodland, or in, you know, maybe it would be a field of poppies, or, you know, an urban street, or wherever it needed to be.
Okay, and then you build from that.
And then I build from that. So, yeah, and then I add the elements that I need to. And it really does go on, a bit like painting a picture in layers. So that's my background. And then I will add elements, and I'll make bits darker, I'll make bits lighter, and I'll literally paint into the photograph digitally. And then add, you know, sparkles and lights and elements. And sometimes I don't know where they're going to come from. I just experiment and feel what looks good.
How do you know when you've finished, when you're done?
Oh, that's a very good question. And sometimes I don't. That's a real skill. Sometimes I go too far and pull back.
That's the thing with artists, isn't it?
And you can do that with photography, of course, because when you've got things layered up in Photoshop, you just switch that layer back off again. It's great. It's like erasing digitally. I do get used to it. I know when it just feels right and it's come together. And in fact, some of the photographs are very, very complex and will take maybe up to 5 hours to create in, you know, editing afterwards. And sometimes they're actually very simple and can take only maybe an hour. And I think they're perfect there at that hour. And I just think, you know what, that's done.
Is it your instinct, your intuition?
Yes, I think so.
Have you ever seen photographs where you've thought, I wish I'd carried on, or I wish I'd taken something off?
Well, that the client's already got.
Mm.
Probably. I'm thinking hard there, which is why I've gone very quiet. Not so that it would upset me.
Okay.
But if I ever... sometimes I go into an old photo or a photo that I've already done, and I might just rework it and re-edit it just for me. I get a new idea for a photo. Or sometimes I might just experiment with something. But generally, I will not let... despite the creativity, I'm a real perfectionist. And I will only let that client have their photo when I am happy with it and it's realised my creative vision for that image.
Right. So when clients come to you, what are they looking for?
At the very beginning, you mean?
What draws them to contact you?
I think they are looking for something different. Sometimes I also think, bearing in mind that this is still very new, so ask me again in a year.
Okay.
But I think sometimes, judging by the response I've had so far, they fall into two camps. They have seen something that I've done for somebody else and think, oh, I want that, but in this way.
Okay.
And it's just something that they feel or they know, and they go, oh, I want something different. That's what I want. Or they're just attracted to the other photos that I've done that they've seen, and they haven't got a clue what they want, but they just want something different. Maybe they've had classic portraits done or a family photo session done in the past, and they're aware that they want to capture the next stage, maybe in their children's development, okay, or their family development or their own development, but they just want it done maybe in a non-traditional way.
But, I mean, as you're talking, I wonder if there's something going on deep in people's subconscious that they're not even aware of.
Quite possibly.
That they have a yearning to discover who they really are, but it's not a conscious thought. So they get drawn to you because on a deep subconscious level, they know that's where they're going to find it. But they don't actually realise that until they get to you and they start to have the conversation. So are there other forces at work?
Quite possibly. What, you mean real magic?
Like real magic, because we all know real magic exists. Mm.
I also think that people are drawn to the whole, whether they know it or not, whether they admit it or not, I think is a big one, to magic and things that we're not quite sure of, and the whole fairy folk thing. You know, there's a reason that Peter Pan and fairies and Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and magical things that expand our imaginations are so hugely popular. It's because they resonate with people.
Yeah.
Now, whether that's to do with fear of our own mortality and it suggests something otherwise,
right,
or whether it is just because it's different and exciting and a little bit scary, and they want to tap into it in a safe way, I don't know. Okay.
Or is it tapping into something that we knew centuries ago and we've lost?
Quite possibly.
Is it tapping into an ancient knowledge?
So. I'd quite like to think so. I'm going to take that. I like that explanation. Yeah.
Because, you know, if you think on a completely different thing, but if you think about medicine,
yeah,
pharmaceutical medicine is new medicine. Very new.
Yes.
The ancient medicine, which got discarded and pushed to one side with pharmaceutical medicine, is now having a resurgence in the Western world. It's almost as though there is a longing to get back to the ancient wisdom that we've lost.
Yes, I agree.
Whether it's remedies, whether it's a way of healing ourselves, whether it is the gods and the goddesses and, you know, different ways of thinking, different belief systems, rather than, because all religions are relatively new.
Yeah.
If you take humanity,
religion
is actually quite new for when human beings first existed and first started to be. And, you know, we used to worship nature. And it's almost as though there is a longing to get back to the ancient wisdom that we've lost. And part of that is going back to the magic that existed when we worked in harmony with nature. And we saw, you know, all children, I think, are born seeing other beings. And by about the age of 6 or 7, we've lost that. We've all had the imaginary friend, which when we were 5 was not imaginary.
Yeah.
They were really there and we really saw them. But that merging, that blurring of different worlds, the older we get, it gets thinner and thinner and thinner until it disappears completely. So maybe it's a yearning to get back to where we really come from.
Yeah, quite possibly.
And you're offering people the first safe step into that exploration of our soul. It's like a soul journey in a way, isn't it? Exploring who you really are.
Yeah.
But in a safe environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you can pretend it's fantasy and it's not really real.
Yeah.
Until you see the picture.
Yes,
and then you realise that's where you've always been.
Oh, there's an artist in you.
Well, it's that power of imagination, isn't it?
Daydreaming. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And it's a really powerful thing. And the other thing, I think, is that lots of people, given the excuse, like to be silly. And I think sometimes the older we get,
absolutely,
the more comfortable we feel being silly. You do go through that stage when you're in your 20s where you think you have to be terribly grown up. And then I think from 30 onwards, you start regressing again. And it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's a time and place. Yes, we need to be grown up sometimes. But I think that this kind of photography gives you an excuse to just let go and have fun and be silly again and explore your dreams and be magic.
Yeah, yeah. And to be rather than do.
Because
we get hooked into doing as grown-ups, don't we? We always have to be doing something sensible rather than being in the moment.
Yeah.
And there's a wonderful release about being without judgment, without self-judgment, because self-judgment comes before judgment for anybody else, because judgment for anybody else is only a reflection of the judgment we have of ourselves. So if we can really be in that moment and not judge ourselves, that's liberating, completely liberating.
Well, I find, in fact, liberating is a word I've used a lot recently. I'm finding doing this now utterly liberating, because it's, you know, I know who I am now within the photography realm. I know what I can offer. I know what I can do for people. And also I can make people feel very at ease because, as I said before, I can help them find their picture. Even if when they come to me, they don't know what that picture is yet. Yeah. And in fact, it doesn't even have to involve people. It might be that within an office space, a company comes to me and says, we just want something really beautiful and sublime for our walls. We're not quite sure what, but we'd like you to create something for our office space.
How lovely.
That suggests something.
Yeah.
And so again, we'd go through the questions and pull things out that maybe reflect the branding of the company, but more about the feel of the company.
And the vision and their mission and their values.
So I can create something for them that actually doesn't involve people or figures at all. Just things, you know, and light and movement and maybe natural forms.
Yeah, how lovely. Really, what you are is a photographic therapist, aren't you?
Well, do you know, I'd never thought of that. And it's interesting because when I went to university, I went with the intention of becoming an art therapist.
Oh my gosh, did you really?
Yes, I really did. I really did, because my degree was three subjects in my first, I can't believe you just said that, was in my first year, my subjects were psychology, fine art and English literature, with a view to dropping the English literature and continuing my degree with the fine art and the psychology, and then to go on and do a postgraduate diploma in art therapy.
Wow.
And that didn't happen.
but you're coming back to it now.
That's what has because, always, you know, I was thinking, been what was, at the back of my mind.
What was going through my mind as you were talking about people exploring who they are and not quite knowing when they arrive, they just know they want something. Mm. That's a bit kind of the state you can turn up to when you go and see a therapist. You know you need to explore something.
I hadn't thought of it like that.
But you don't know what you need to explore. Mm. And it's only in the safety of that environment with the right questions and the right energy does that get drawn out of you. So a therapist would do it with words and you do it with images.
Yes. I hadn't thought of it that way before, but that actually makes an awful lot of sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even if somebody came to me and said, I really, really love your fairy store, your fairy photographs, because they're just attracted to them because they're pretty, you know, and they like them. Then we would find out what kind of fairy image was suitable for them. I wouldn't just say, oh, yes, we'll do you any old fairy image. We'd decide whether it was going to be to do with flowers. What kind of fairy are they, basically? Are they a dark fairy? That doesn't mean, but, you know, there are sort of, is it going to be slightly more sinister? Is it going to be slightly darker? Is it airy fairy? Is it a snow fairy? Are we going to put them with snowdrops and snow? Are we going to put them with bluebells? You know, are we?
I mean, if you think about, was it Jung who had Freud who had the light and the dark of our personalities?
Right, yeah, it was one of them, and I can't remember either, because I studied both of them, and I can't remember either.
It's like almost you're giving people permission to explore their dark side, aren't you, in a way that's safe.
Yes.
So they can actually step into that for the photo shoot and explore that, which would be fascinating. This is kind of my mind is kind of going off where this could lead to. It's so exciting. And if you worked in parallel or in collaboration with a therapist, you could help somebody visually as well as with words explore their journey.
Yes.
Do you know, take an image of them at the beginning of their journey and an image of them when they feel they've come out the other side, because they would then have a pictorial capture of how far they've traveled,
of their sort of metamorphosis. Yeah. Yeah, interesting.
Or the caterpillar
Yes
turning into the butterfly.
Absolutely. How exciting.
So exciting. We've only got 5 minutes left. I don't quite know how that happened.
I think that the whole, just even the word magic, you know, some people, when you mention, I do, you know, even if I said, oh, I do magical photography, because it isn't just all magical, it might be that somebody just wants to have a lovely photo of them in the woods with some nice texture and lighting, and it's just going to be a beautiful photo of them that's been created in a more, in a fine art type of way.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be magic at all. You know, I did a little boy recently who just really loves tigers and he wants to be a tiger, and you know, you may have seen on the website the little pictures, and he was just running around a park in Eastbourne, and I jungled him up, you know, and it was such fun, and he was just a joy. So it doesn't have to be magical, but the magic is so emotive. Magic, the word magic and magical is so emotive for people, and I think that that's, you know, what draws people in sometimes, because I really, really believe that everybody loves a little bit of magic. And if they say they don't, then it's probably because they need a little bit of magic in their life.
Absolutely. So, in denial.
Know, I just want to bring magic to everybody.
You're doing it brilliantly. You brought along some things to show me.
Yes.
Do you want to, in a few minutes, 5 minutes, 4 minutes, just talk us through what they are?
Yeah, well, what I've brought for you is a few of the products, sample products, that I'm going to be selling in my magical gift shop, that will link in to my Alice in Wonderland site, but will actually take you out of that site onto my website that will sell these products. And I'm actually a business fairy, which is very appropriate,
isn't it?
For the products just for tiny people. A fabulous UK-based company that's been going about 4 years, I believe, in total. And many of the products are handmade by sewing fairies all around the UK.
Wow.
Beautifully made. And it just... I got the opportunity to become an affiliate to the company a little while ago, and it was a company I followed and admired anyway. And basically their premise is it's all about toys and gifts for children, which is where the tiny people come into it, that inspire their imagination.
Ah.
And their tagline is, to bring about 1 million magical smiles. And it's just divine. So I'm busily filling my little shop with the products at the moment behind the scenes, and then that will be launched as well, and I will be able to tie that into the
and you can
Wonder.
Use some of the and stuff
and of course
in the
these
photos
beautiful
as well,
canopies
you?
And the magical teepees for children, inspiring, you know, huge imaginative play for the kids, which is just lovely. And I will definitely be using some of the products.
Do they
in
export?
The photo shoots. Yes, they do. They export all over the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, obviously with shipping fees.
Sure.
But yes, they are popular all over the place.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and they're just wonderful. I'm really, really proud to be able to represent that company as well and sell them alongside my magical experiences.
So where do you see Alice in Wonderland in the future?
Oh, well, that's a very good question, because I'm still planning the now.
Fair enough.
I would like to think that it will still be around, and that it will be just a bigger, better version than it is today.
Okay.
And that it will have just brought a lot of happiness to people and a lot of fun, and that it will still be considered that it is something a little bit different.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that should somebody want to fly you over to America, you wouldn't be averse to beginning on a plane.
Oh, well, I'd probably take a few seconds to think about it. You know. I don't need a plane. I've got my own wings.
Silly me. Stupid Katie.
Yes, of course I would. Yeah. I mean, obviously all over the UK as well.
Yeah.
You know, whether people want to meet me halfway or whether they want to, you know, get me up. I'll also do, you know, pixie parties as well. So if people want to get, say, a group of friends together and almost have a, you know, a dragon hunt for young
and
boys
Halloween
in the wood.
And Easter.
Anything, you know, then I'll do sort of groups of children all individually, all in one go. If they can get them all in one place for me, then we'll just play and
what
go
fun.
For it.
What fun.
Oh,
brilliant.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Oh, yes. Oh, I know how to have a good time.
I was about to say there's alcohol involved, but I won't say that.
Only afterwards.
Well, brilliant. Alice, we've run out of time. I don't quite know how that happened, but we have. And carry on creating
Thank you.
Magic.
I will.
And sharing
I'll look forward
magic.
To your Narnia session.
Yeah, I might be the Snow Queen, though. That's a problem. Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This has been Katie Day, and you've been listening to Creating Ripples. Listen in and be part of the revolution that is rocking the world. Women are the new future. We are awesome, fearless, fabulous, inspiring, passionate, courageous. In fact, we just rock.